Matt Greenwood back on KJS Sports Talk with you, powered by your local McDonald's. Got Ryan Reinheimer, our program director here at KJF, still with us this late afternoon, putting in a long day of work, and we certainly appreciate that. All right, so we just talked about Festus Post 253, their trip to the American Legion Baseball World Series. If you missed that segment, you can find a recap of this show on MIMOinfo.com a little bit later on this evening. But now we're transitioning, shifting over to, you know, let's use a baseball term here. We're shifting over to Cardinals baseball talk, the St. Louis Cardinals, of course. 61-55 currently. They are 2.5 games back of first place of the Chicago Cubs. They are a game back of, they have the second wild card spot. Of course, two wild card teams make it. They have the second spot. Although the Milwaukee Brewers are breathing down their necks, only a half game back. The New York Mets are only a game back. They made that acquisition at the trade deadline for Marcus Stroman. They've got a good starting pitching staff moving forward with Jacob deGrom, Noah Syndergaard, a potential Cardinals trade candidate, as well as Marcus Stroman. So the Mets could be making some noise. They've got an amazing rookie in Pete Alonso, who we'll address here in just a little bit. But yeah, we're going to stick to the St. Louis Cardinals, talk about the mess up, if you will, at the trade deadline. I think a lot of us agree that the Cardinals kind of shot themselves in the foot by not trading for a starting pitcher. Since the All-Star break, they're 4-6, including a five-game losing streak. And that 4-6 record includes the day of the deadline because they played later on that evening and lost to the Cubs 2-0 there. So, Ryan, when the trade deadline was happening, the Cardinals were in first place. They traded away Jed Jerko, and that was the major move. They did nothing else. So we never got your thoughts on the trade deadline and how maddening it was for you or frustrating it was for you as a Cardinals fan that they didn't make a move. So give us an indication, Ryan, how frustrated were you with the inactivity, if you will, the inaction of the Cardinals at the deadline?
Well, definitely it was frustrating in terms of you did not get what you probably needed. And when you hear the front office continuously say, we're all in for 2019, well, they didn't act like they were all in for 2019 because they made no moves whatsoever to help the team. All they did was dump a guy for salary reasons and so on, and Jed Jerko. And, you know, good luck to him. He was a decent player when he was here, but at the same time, I understand the move, but you got virtually nothing in return. They didn't get in a starting pitcher or even help this offense whatsoever. In my opinion, I didn't necessarily think a starting pitcher would have made sense, but they also didn't even make any moves to try to better the offense. And really, that's been the biggest problem over this losing streak and this 4-6 record they've had since the break or since the trade deadline. They're not hitting. Now, they did turn things around a little bit against the Pittsburgh Pirates, but let's face it, it's the Pittsburgh Pirates. They're one of the worst teams in the National League.
And it took a big grand slam from Lane Thomas in the game Sunday just to make a comeback and win it.
Yeah, to complete a three-game sweep, if you will.
Right.
You know, it's one of those, I know that this team is not necessarily healthy. Yadi Molina is still out. He's about to return, actually. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Ozuna just came back from the DL, and his timing's not necessarily there. Carpenter is still Carpenter. He's slumping this year. It has not been a good year for him. Although Goldschmidt's turned it around. And actually, one of the hottest players since the All-Star break in terms of batting average is Colton Wong. Mm-hmm. I think he's hitting somewhere in the neighborhood of like 325 or something like that since the start of the second half of the season. But that's not enough. The problem with this Cardinals lineup is when they are slumping, everyone's slumping.
Yeah.
When they're hot, they're all hot at the same time. It's not this guy, you know, he's okay, this guy's hot, this guy's cold. It's not like that. It seems like everybody slumps or everybody kind of is all hitting at the same time. You don't necessarily win a lot of games in a short amount of time with something like that. So, yeah. Just to answer it, your question, yes, I was not happy the Cardinals made any moves, and they haven't made any good moves in a long time in terms of trying to better this team at the deadline.
Yeah, no kidding. They fired assistant hitting coach Mike Badaska yesterday. Mike Murphy and I found that out during the show, during our Sports Talk Golf and More show every Monday.
Scapegoat.
Yeah, exactly. A cop out is the phrase that Mike Murphy kept falling back to. I mean, your assistant hitting coach, you really think that's going to change things? It's not going to change anything.
No, I don't think so at all, unless there was something there that we don't know about. You know, That's the only thing I can think of.
Maybe this Jobel Jimenez guy is far and away better. I mean, the Memphis Redbirds have a hot prospect that just got called up to the Cardinals, Randy Arozarena.
There's been a lot of talk about him for some time. He's been red hot here as of late, and I mean the numbers in the minors are pretty impressive.
And then you see what Lane Thomas has been doing lately, and so maybe there's something there. Maybe with the influx of young guys that the Cardinals are bringing up to help out the offense, they figure let's bring the hitting coach with them. And that's really the only other thing I can think of, other than
it's hard to say
the whole cop out theory of We're ranked 24th and 25th in this offensive category. Let's just fire our assistant hitting coach. He's to blame for all this. The only other reason I can think of is they are planning on bringing more of these young prospects up, and they need that hitting coach that's been working with them all year to come up with them as well.
It's either that or it's something behind the scenes that maybe we don't know about. Maybe an argument between him and other coaches or something like that. We don't know that for sure.
Right.
If it is something like that, it'll come out eventually.
Yeah. I would like to look on the positive side and just go with my theory. But
And that might make sense, too. Yeah. I mean, this guy, Arozarena, is hitting .349 this year in the minor leagues. I think it's AA and AAA combined. He's got 10 home runs, 42 RBIs. Okay, he's not a power guy, but he's got pop, but he's got a lot of speed, and he just flat-out hits. He's a doubles machine for the most part.
Yeah.
This could be a guy that could spark this team. I don't think there's any question about it. But I don't expect him to come up here and all of a sudden be the catalyst to get this team over the top. He might be a big help for that, but I don't see him being a guy that's going to come up here and carry this offense.
Well, I mean, in 52 games at Memphis, at AAA Memphis, 7 home runs, 8 stolen bases, a .368 batting average, and there's no single Cardinal on this team right now with an OPS above 1,000. This guy had that in 52 games at Memphis AAA. So,
yeah.
Maybe he's like Yordan Alvarez, the Houston Astros, a guy that can come up and maybe get on fire with that power and provide, home run after home run every other game and potentially spark this offense. But I mean, the Cardinals are looking for answers somewhere in that lineup, and maybe Molina gets back on track. Carpenter, I think he's just done. I think he took his whatever extension money and said, to heck with this. I mean, I'm not feeling great, and they're already paying. I don't want to think that, but I mean, come on. I mean, this guy is he's just
losing his edge for the most part.
Yeah,
and I don't know.
He's atrocious. I mean.
His bat speed has dropped considerably. His hard hit average is certainly dropping and things like that. He's just not hitting the baseball as well as he was before.
I mean, what happened?
I don't know if there's something physically wrong with him or if it's just one of those things. It's just age is catching up with him a little bit quicker than what people had hoped.
Yeah, and I mean, after last year's big run during the summer, I mean, That was fun to watch, but I think a lot of people have forgotten that rather quickly just because of how he's performed so far this year. But
I guess the one thing to keep in mind, too, this team is only 2 games out of first place. I mean, the Cubs have not been as good. They're not that great either. They're inconsistent.
They've gotten better, though.
I mean, they are, but it's not like they've left the Cardinals in the weeds and that kind of thing. And Milwaukee, the Brewers, in my opinion, top to bottom, are not a great team. Yes, they have the hottest hitter in baseball, perhaps, this year, who's having one of the great years. But take away Christian Yelich, that team's garbage.
Okay, well, that's a strong statement.
and they don't really have great pitching either.
No, they don't.
Now, the Cardinals don't have good pitching in their own right. There's a lot of open spots.
Honestly,
there.
That seems to be the inconsistency with the top three teams is starting pitching.
Yeah, the Cubs have their issues too. The Cubs top to bottom, they have a superior lineup compared to both the Cardinals and the Brewers.
Right.
When in terms of who hits first all the way to eighth.
Right.
The Cubs on paper have the best lineup. The Cardinals have one that should compete, but they're not.
Right.
But the Brewers, I mean, you take away Yelich and Moustakas, this team doesn't have a lot.
Lorenzo Cain's having a down year, too.
Yeah, he's a good leadoff guy, but he's hitting .250.
Yeah.
And there's a few other guys in there. They gave up on Aguilar for the most part, and Thames is not that much better. Now, I know they brought in that young second baseman who was a spark.
Yeah, the Hiura.
Yeah.
Japanese guy.
But, I mean, honestly,
he's got some power.
That Milwaukee team is not that great.
Yeah.
You know, in terms of that roster. Yelich, everything goes through Yelich. If he's off, that team's going to lose.
Which makes it so much more frustrating that the Cardinals did not jump on the opportunity to get some starting pitching.
I agree.
I mean, honestly, the Cincinnati Reds have the best starting pitching in the National League Central, but they're so far out.
They are. They're far out. I mean, they have a lot of guys in that lineup that are not doing well.
I mean, I will give them credit. They're 56-61 now. They're 5.5 out of a second wild card spot. But, I mean, and they throw out Luis Castillo, Sonny Gray, and Trevor Bauer. That's a formidable three. I mean, them and the New York Mets made big acquisitions in their starting pitching and in their starting rotation. And those two teams have surged because of it.
And the Cardinals have a four-game series in Cincinnati starting Thursday and through the weekend.
You know what? And I think Bauer just pitched Saturday, so they're going to see Trevor Bauer. Yeah. So
the Cardinals do have the Royals for the next two nights.
Yeah,
so
let's hope that's a sweep right there.
I mean, you take a look at the Cardinals have a lot of games coming up with Milwaukee. They have a four-game series coming up with Colorado. Colorado's beatable. We know that. They're not a bad team. And then, you know, Cincinnati for a couple more games as they come back here. You know, there's a series here against Milwaukee, there against Milwaukee in late August. So there's a lot of games still coming up with the Brewers. They're going to play the Brewers a lot over the next, several weeks for the most part. And remember, the Cardinals played the Brewers so many times right off the bat in the season. You know, remember they had so many games against the Brewers in the first, 3 weeks of the season,
mm-hmm.
and they haven't played them since. Well, they're going to make up all these games with the Brewers coming down the stretch here. And some important games with the Cubbies. They play 7 out of their last 10 games are against the Cubs to close the regular season.
Well, we'll see how it goes for the
Cubs. But are they going to be in the mix when those games come up?
Right. Who knows? I'm glad you brought up Christian Yelich, and we'll wrap up our show here with this. We won't touch on all of these different major milestones that we're looking at here for down the stretch, but we'll mention some, we'll react to some, but we're not going to really dive into too many details of them. All right, you mentioned Christian Yelich. He could potentially be the first 50-30 player in Major League history. That's 50 home runs, 30 stolen bases. Right now, he needs 11 home runs and 7 stolen bases in the final 43 games to achieve that mark.
I would think he's got it. But, that's a lot of home runs still.
But if he goes 49-29, I'm sure no one's done that before either. So he's just a fantastic ball player, and the Brewers got a steal when they traded for him.
Oh, no doubt about it, and good for them. I think the only thing that might keep him down is the home run potential, because unless some of these other guys in that Milwaukee lineup start coming around, Yelich isn't going to get a lot to hit.
Right. Ronald Acuna Jr., 21 years old, could become the youngest baseball player ever to reach the 40-40 club, 40 home runs, 40 stolen bases. If he does, he would be the youngest, and he would be the fifth guy to ever do it. So not just the fifth guy to ever do it, but the youngest to ever do it. Alfonso Soriano, Alex Rodriguez, Barry Bonds, and Jose Canseco all joined the 40-40 club at some point in their careers.
And he plays for a team that a lot of people don't give a lot of credit to. You don't hear much about the Atlanta Braves.
Oh, man, they're dangerous.
They are that very often, dangerous, but nobody really talks about them.
Yeah, their offense is loaded. And a potential free agent acquisition for the Cardinals that signed with them, Josh Donaldson, he's hitting like .255 with about 25 home runs, or 20 home runs. So he's
not that bad at all.
No, he's climbing up there, better than Matt Carpenter. Justin Verlander could reach 3,000 career strikeouts, of course, Astros pitcher, reason why they won the World Series 2 years ago. Pete Alonso, as I mentioned, rookie of the year candidate in the National League, first baseman with like 38 home runs this year. He's very close to setting a rookie record, which is 39 by Cody Bellinger 2 years ago, the Dodgers first baseman and outfielder. So those are a couple.
Who's also having a great year, by the way.
Yep, he's fantastic.
For a good Dodgers team.
Very strong Dodgers team. So that's another thing. That's a major milestone potentially for baseball this year. Two things on the opposite ends of the spectrum. The Minnesota Twins could be setting the single-season team home run record this year. They could wind up beating the Yankees, who set it a couple years ago last year with 267. The Twins right now have 228, so they could break that record. On the opposite side, though, way down south of the spectrum is the Baltimore Orioles, who are 11 home runs giving up away from giving up the most home runs in a single season. So, yeah, do not want to be a Baltimore Orioles fan, that is for sure.
No, it's been some troubling times for them.
Other than that, the last one to get to that I think would interest our listeners is Albert Pujols. You know, could be top five on the home run list before season's end. He's 9 home runs away from tying Willie Mays and moving into the top five in Major League Baseball history. And you know what? For a guy at 37 years old for the Angels, I mean, yeah, the batting average isn't there, but the pop is still there. I think he's got like 19 or 20 home runs this season. You know, he's hitting about 245, 250, kind of stays within that range. But a big milestone for him, and that'd be really cool if he's able to do that this year.
If he doesn't do it this year, it'll happen before he's done with his career. We know that.
Yeah.
But, he can still pop it. No doubt about it. He's not the 300 hitter he once was, but he can still play.
So those are some of the major milestones that a lot of people are going to be keeping an eye on down this stretch for Major League Baseball. Ryan, I want to thank you for staying late with me and doing the sports talk show. And because of that, I would like you to plug your All the Rage comic show. When's the next one coming up? I know I'm kind of putting you on the spot here.
Actually, it's going to be next week.
Okay.
As a matter of fact, Thursday of next week is the next time for that. So stay tuned for anything coming up ahead in the world of comics and television and so on.
And what time does that air again?
8:30
a.m.
in the morning, right.
Bright and early. So get up for that. That's next Thursday, as Ryan mentioned.
And get up for the morning show tomorrow.
Yeah, there you go.
6:30 a.m., myself and Craig.
Yeah, I'm done with waking up at 6:30. Done that too many times already this week. Anyway, all right, my great thanks to Ryan. Thank you as well for tuning in to KJ Sports Talk today. We hope you have a great rest of your Tuesday evening.